Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
16 years ago, thought I would die the way I was running. And when I got to prison, I heard this quote, "If you continue doing what you've always done, you'll continue getting what you've always gotten."
Well, this is Luis Diaz, and that is his mantra, one that he repeats over and over to inmates he works with in Middlesex County. See, Diaz has been there. He's a former drug dealer and ex-convict himself, but for years now, he's dedicated himself to helping other former prisoners reenter society. That journey is documented in the film Beyond the Wall. For 4 years, filmmakers followed Louis and the formerly incarcerated men he works with. Most of them are struggling with addiction and have cycled through the prison system many times. And the film portrays the powerful emotional, financial, and even spiritual challenges they face as they try to stay out of jail. We spoke with Luis Diaz a little earlier today, along with the director of the film, Jenny Phillips, and we started with why Jenny wanted to make this film.
I became interested in making this film after many years of working inside prisons as a volunteer, teaching programs with people who were often very highly motivated and committed. They worked very hard. They were very eager to make it outside the wall, excited about returning to the community. And yet I knew and they knew because of the statistics that they would probably be coming back in again. And in the film, we're looking at the jail population, which is a huge revolving door of people coming and going. And I think it's 9 million people are released from jails every year in the United States. And 75% of them have a history of substance abuse. 95% of those will pick up drugs again. 2/3 will recidivate and be back in prison within 3 years. So I became very interested in how this could possibly be. And I had already made a film about a treatment program inside a maximum security prison in Alabama, but I became interested in what happens when people leave prison. So I went to the sheriff, Peter Katujan, a superintendent, Sean McAdam, and asked them whether or not we could have access inside and follow people as they went back out into the community. And that began 4 years of filming people inside and outside the wall of Bill Ricca House of Correction. It was mostly filmed in the streets of Lowell and Lawrence.
Yeah. That's the heart and soul of the film is this question that you were asking about. Basically, the odds are really stacked against the formerly incarcerated when they're released, and so many end up back in the system, or with even worse outcomes than that, if you can imagine that. And the efforts that people like you, Louis, are putting forth to try and help people stay away from getting locked up again. And it's something that you actually know about personally, right? So can you just tell me your story a little bit and how you came to this work?
Yeah, so I got interested in the in this type of work because I'm a recovering drug addict, ex-convict myself. And I basically had people when I got out that I got connected with and helped me and walked me through this process. When I was incarcerated, I seen and heard from the guys and personally I experienced it myself, like the struggles that returning citizens face and go through. So once I got clean and got connected with the right people and started taking some trainings and going to school, I was given an opportunity to work in the field of human services as a substance abuse counselor, and that basically was kind of like the beginning. And then I ended up opening an outreach center in the city of Haverhill, then moved it to Lawrence, and basically have been doing this for years. I'd say probably close to on and off, probably like 20 years. Mm-hmm. Just reaching out to men, helping them, adjust back into society because I know the struggle firsthand because I lived it. It was very difficult for me at first.
Well, Jenny, I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about the men that we get to know. How did you choose them and also convince them to let you document their stories?
It's always so, it seems to me, so easy to get people to go on camera. I'm always surprised. I don't think anybody ever hesitated. But, of course, you've got to build trust. And I think having Louis as our guide enabled people to trust us. I would say in terms of Ray, he's a very interesting guy. He's in his early 40s. He's lived a lifetime of drugs and crime. He's never had a job before in his life. And there's a scene in the film which is kind of riveting where Louis and Billy and Julio go over to see how Ray's doing, and he happens to be in crisis. It's a hot summer night, and he has done some terrible, terrible things that day. And he's weeping, and he wants a bed somewhere.
Well, we actually have a clip where, Louis, you're talking to Ray, and he's really hit bottom, and he tells you about why he's finally going to go to into a program. And he explains that it happened, the decision, he made the decision after something that happened when he tried to initially help someone, someone who was drunk. He tried to help this person get home, and then he says what happened next.
Brought him inside the house, drunk and all. And he was like, oh, I'm going to hook you with a couple of dollars. That was fine. I was about to leave. But when he pulled out that knot, the disease kicked in. And I was broke. And I was starting to get sick. And that's it. It just took over me. It just told me, yo, hit him. And I just kept hitting him and hitting him and hitting him.
Louis, can you tell me about that moment? Like, how do you handle that when someone's just that broken down?
Yeah, I mean, he was really hurting, and Ray, somebody that I had reached out to many times, had gotten him into a bunch of different detox before, and you know, this is when you know we had just came into the picture to help him. So,
yeah. You know, you talk a lot in the documentary when you're working with these gentlemen about having to be honest with themselves, mm-hmm. right, and confront the challenges of not only letting go of their past lives, but how to build a new life. And there's a scene that I want to play where Brian Diddy Nolet talks to you about one of the biggest challenges. I think he really accurately says he faces as soon as he got out. And he's someone who'd been incarcerated, 17 times in 14 years? So it's almost as if he had known nothing else since he was, 16 years old, something like that? Yeah. And so here he is. He's sharing with you what he thinks is one of the biggest challenges.
It's hard. You got to get out and get back to what you knew and then change from that point. You got to reestablish yourself. And that's why you always resort back to drugs. The stress, the tension gets too high. It's like, damn, man. I'll do the wrong thing if I feel good about it. Mm. You know, when I'm not getting high, I don't feel good about doing it. I have a conscience problem.
He was one of the brightest, most engaging, hilariously funny, endearing young men that I've met in a long time. And he could have been saved, but yet he was a marked man in so many ways. He'd committed so many crimes in the Lowell area. He'd made a reputation for himself, and he enjoyed it. And you can see in the film how much he enjoys that reputation, but he knows it can't work for him much longer. He's kind of aging out of it. He's marked by tattoos all over his body, all over his face, all over his head. How is he going to show up for a job? And he talks about that. He's really a wonderful character in the film, and there's a very Shakespearean-like drama toward the end of the film where he's gone back into the streets again. It's very powerful.
Yeah. Now I don't want to give away the stories of all these gentlemen, but with Diddy, I do have to ask, because you said he could have been saved. Can we talk about what happened to him?
Mm-hmm. So yes, he ends up dying in the film. He was someone that,
A fentanyl overdose.
A fentanyl overdose. And he just started, so he had a history of drinking and smoking marijuana and had just started abusing the painkillers. So from the painkillers, he went on to heroin, and he bought a bag of heroin that had fentanyl, and that's what basically did him in.
There's a moment in the film where Diddy's really sort of on that downward spiral, and you catch up with him, and he says he'd been back on the streets, he's shooting up, and you asked him, like, why didn't you reach out to me? Because you know I'm there, right? Yeah. And he comes back to you and he says he didn't want to go to your office. He didn't want to be seen with the other men who come see you. And then he said something which I was really curious about. He just said, those guys are all okay being a son.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be a son. What was he trying to get at there?
Well, what he was trying to say is because, like all the characters in the film, these are guys that I've walked through the process, and these are guys that would always, look for me and call me, and I'd help them. He, you know, he felt like he didn't want to be one of those guys that became like one of my sons or one of the guys that I mentored. He did on numerous occasions, and you don't see that in the film, speak with me about his using, but he was kind of like in denial. Like, he never confessed to me that he was an IV drug user, that he started injecting heroin. When I approached him and confronted him one day, he totally denied it and said, no, all I'm doing is I'm doing pills. But the word on the street was that he was injecting drugs. So he was in denial and didn't want to go by this agency that I worked for, the Lowell House Addiction Recovery Services Program, because he just didn't want to be seen mm-hmm. as somebody that's seeking help, that's really strung out and that's in desperate need of help. He didn't want nobody to see that.
Yeah, there's a gladiator mentality. It's a manhood thing. And I think it's true on the streets too, but I think it gets really ramped up when you get incarcerated. And so you're supposed to be strong, you're supposed to be independent, you're not supposed to have any emotions. And yet, when you see Diddy on the screen, he's weeping. He's talks about taking off his armor. I also want to make the point that when you look at these men, and the large majority of people who have been incarcerated, there's trauma there.
Yeah. Well, I'm speaking with Jenny Phillips and Louis Diaz about the new documentary, Beyond the Wall. And there's a scene that I'd like to play from the film, it features Jesus Ruiz. And you were talking about trauma the trauma that often these how people are exposed to it very, very young in life, and it tends to sort of follow them. And I just think there's a scene which really underscores that, where he walks you through a cemetery and points out all the names that he knows very, very well there. So let's listen.
This is Shalisa Ruiz. That's my daughter. She died of SIDS. It's Miguel Baez, my wife's uncle. He died of AIDS. This is Charles McCullough, my brother-in-law. He got killed by a kid I beat up for him because he couldn't fight. The kid seen him the next day, stabbed him 8 times and killed him. I try to just stay focused for my kids, you know? I lost one kid. I go back to jail, I'm gonna lose the rest, you know? And I don't want that, man. But it's like, this life, doing the right thing, working hard for practically nothing, you know? And it's not fun for me, you know?
I think Jesus says so much in that scene. He's saying, look, here's where I've come from. And here's where I'm trying to get to, but it's hard. And he also mentions in another part of the film that, like, you know, he's trying to stay on the straight and narrow, work at his job, look after his kids, be part of his family, but that he's working for almost nothing, and he could make, you know, the equivalent of 2 paychecks, you know, doing what he did back out on the street just in a couple of hours. And there's that constant pressure of not having financial stability or societal support, which is really bears down on everyone featured in this film, Louis. Yeah. I mean, can you tell me about how they handle that?
Yeah, I mean, it's very difficult for most of these men, and you know, when you see their backgrounds, most of them come from dysfunctional families, that some of the parents have been drug addicts and incarcerated themselves. There's a scene in the film that the first time I watched it, because I wasn't there when they were filming, really got me, was when Jesus mentions his father, and his father having molested his sister. And then he also mentions the mother being a drug addict. Mm-hmm. And so they weren't in his life. A lot of trauma with these guys.
I'm also wondering how you try to get the message across that it's worth the really, really hard work to do what they can to stay in the jobs that they get when they're lucky enough to get a job. Because I'm thinking, you know, Diddy tells you at one point in time in the film, like, he can't get food stamps because he doesn't have a stable address. His disability benefits have run out. And so they advise him, like, sleep in a shelter so you have at least an address for a couple nights so we can get you something. So it seems like there's this lack of institutional supports. And then when they're lucky enough to get a job, because, you know, with a quarry in Massachusetts, sometimes it's pretty hard to get a job. I keep thinking of what Jesus said at one point in the film, where it's for almost no money, and if you're trying to make ends meet for your family, the lure of going back to what you did before, which might have gotten you incarcerated, you know, dealing, has got to be strong. How do you tell them, like, don't try to resist that lure?
Yeah, I think with mentoring these men, I'm always it's like motivation, trying to motivate them all the time, not to look back or get discouraged or lose hope, because things will get better. And, you know, a lot of the times they look at me and it's like, you know, if you did it, I can do it. And you know, and I share a lot of stories. I bring other recovering addicts that are successful and other ex-convicts into their lives and connect them so they can see that, hey, there's other people making it and doing it, because it is very difficult and discouraging for these guys, you know, coming out and not having, you know, a license and not having a place to live, having a criminal history, and then on top of that, having substance abuse issues, and sometimes not having even the insurance to be able to get treatment. It can be very difficult and overwhelming for them. That's why I think it's just so important to have a mentor or somebody walking them through this process, showing them that, you know, you are going to struggle, it is going to get discouraging, it might be difficult, but hang in there, because things will get better eventually.
So there are so many forces which are just revealed very honestly in the film through the stories of everyone that you follow. The effect of drugs and addiction, poverty, incarceration, and how they all work together to make getting back on your feet extraordinarily difficult. I mean, you're out there every day, Louis. I just wonder if there's sometimes you just get frustrated and just feel like you can't push this boulder up the hill anymore.
Mm-hmm. I just talking to Jenny about that a few minutes ago on my way up here. I was telling her that sometimes I'm like, you know, Am I doing anything? Is it worth continuing? I mean, I help so many people, and then sometimes, you know, you see some that end up returning to jail because of, like, you know, a quick story. I had a guy a couple nights ago who called me and needed to get into a detox. I wasn't able to get him a bed that evening, and he texted me and said, "Well, I'm gonna go out. I'm gonna go commit a crime." And the next morning, I get a call that he ended up getting arrested that night, assaulted somebody, and he's back in jail. So I think, you know, if I had gotten him into the detox that night, if there had been a bed, he probably wouldn't be incarcerated. And this is a person that's been institutionalized. He's in and out, you know, every time he gets out of jail, because he can't find the right programs, he goes back to doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. And he's always in jail.
It's a lot for you to take on.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, at times, yeah, it can be very difficult and stressful at times.
Jenny, what do you hope people get from seeing this film?
Prisoners are human beings. They're part of us, and we need them. And when they come back into society, we should welcome them and make life possible for them. The other message that I hope, and it was a surprise to me to find it, and when you make a documentary film, you don't plan what you're going to have in the film. You might have an idea, but you have to go where the story goes. And we were led right into the realization that guys like Louis and Billy and Julio, you see Julio struggling still with his own problems, but he's also there for Ray. Mm-hmm. I think that there's a standing army of returning citizens that get their feet on the ground and they're out there and they're ready to help other people. And they're very, very compassionate people because they understand experientially what it's like to suffer on that level. And we're not using them well enough.
Yeah. Well, Louis Diaz is a reentry and outreach specialist at Lowell House. Louis, thank you so much for coming in and talking with us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
And Jenny Phillips is the director of the documentary Beyond the Wall, which features the work of Louis Diaz. It's screening tonight in Lowell at the Fusion Theater. It'll also be screening elsewhere later this summer. We'll have information about all of those screenings at radioboston.org. Jenny, thank you so much.
Thank you. A great pleasure to be with you.
And this thought, if you or a family member have been through this and struggled with challenges of reentry, let us know what it was like. Tell us your story at our website, radioboston.org. That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.